Oh, good to be together today. God has blessed us, and to see that sunlight out there that we just sang about in some sense of the term, for us to understand that metaphor and to understand the light that we walk in as Christians is truly a wonderful thing. Good to be here together today. Good to see everyone, especially those that are visiting. We're thankful that you have come our way, and that always is an encouragement to us. Those that are traveling and may be on the road that have joined us, we're glad that you've come our way. Please take out your Bibles this morning and follow along with us as we study together from the Word of God. Primarily, 1 Peter chapter 3 will be the place that we'll be spending the majority of our time together today. It's great to be a Christian, great to have another day that we can rejoice in our God and just be thankful for everything that we have. Enjoy the fellowship that we have in Him. For those folks at home on Zoom, we miss you, we love you, and hope and pray that things are good for you. You know, the fact of the matter is that at times it is hard to stay positive and it is hard to stay optimistic. Things happen in our lives, things that challenge us. And when we see a world that's in flux and we see various difficulties and strains and problems, that becomes difficult. And certainly there are influences that have left their mark on this world in which we live. And we acknowledge that as we look around us and we see the time in which we live and the things that are going on. But I want to encourage you this morning not to let Satan steal your joy. Do not let the wicked one take away from you what God has always intended for you to possess. We read about that. Thank you, brother. We read about that in Psalm 34, and we read about it in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that's where I want for us to kind of center in our time together this morning. I want to talk to you about loving life, and I want to talk to you about what Peter says about that in his third chapter of his first letter there. I hope that we do love life. We have every reason to love it. We have so much. God has been so good in so many ways, in every possible way. And when I think about loving life, that sounds like something worth paying attention to. And so I hope we can give just a few minutes to that end this morning. How can I love life? Peter gives us a formula in 1 Peter chapter 3 to do that. And he talks about loving life and having good days in a very difficult time for them, a very emotional time, as we've suggested before in 1 Peter, a time that was a challenge for Christians specifically. But our happiness is not based on this world. It's not based on the world around us, not based on our environment. That's not what brings us joy. As Christians, our joy comes from a different source. And even in the worst of times, we can sing at midnight. Even in the worst of situations, we can lift up our voices and our heads as a result of what God has done as the lifter of our head. Thanks be to God for that. 1 Peter 3, Peter quotes from this passage that Dave read for us in Psalm 34. A time when David was in a very difficult spot. He was in a foreign land. He feigned sickness, feigned insanity, so that he could survive in Philistine territory in a situation that was not very easy. And in doing so, he was able to preserve his life. But he knew that God would take care of him. In verse 7, he makes this wonderful statement, that the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Well, 1 Peter 3 tells us is how to love life and how to have good days. And I think that everybody here wants that. I know I want that. And I hope you want that. We want to love life. We want to have good days. And Peter just tells us, I think, three very basic things here to help us with that. We will have times where that is interrupted. But our feet, our posture, our feet, our chin is lifted, our chest is held up and our head is lifted high because of the Lord. The first thing that Peter says here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10 is, watch what you say. Number one, how to love life. Watch the things that you say. Keep a watch on your mouth. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Look over at James chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 in that regard. When we think about the things that we say, when we think about our tongues, that is a very important thing in this life. If we fail to maintain our tongues, if we fail to watch our speech, we're just not going to be very happy. And some of those things extend themselves from what is within us, no doubt, as the scripture would even tell us, and we'll see that in just a minute. But in James chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, when hell has an influence on me, I'm not going to love my life very much. And that's what James talks about in James chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. He says, warning us, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Boy, are we not aware of that with everything that's going on out in California and Oregon. Just one small spark that can ignite such a millions of acres. We need to be praying for those folks. But James talks about it. He says, just look at what an inferno can begin as a result of one small thing. And then verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. When hell has an influence on me and I can't control my tongue and I cannot manage the things that I say and I begin to say things that I ought not, I'm not going to be happy. When I let fly with things and I'm abusing other people and I'm not handling myself well, I'm not going to see good days. That's just not coordinate with the way that God would have me to act. I am hypocritical, and he talks about that in verse 9. In that kind of situation, which we've talked about recently, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. When I am engaged in hate speech, when I am engaged in this rhetoric that is going on in our world, in our society, and I'm engaged in that day after day, and that's what I'm thinking about, and that's what I'm talking about, I tell you what, there's some Christians whose Facebooks I look at, and I can't tell that they're Christians, but I can sure tell they're awfully political. And they're shouting hatred over here and over here at the President of the United States and at the possible President of the United States and at everybody in between. And they're cursing men and cursing one side or the other and cursing this group or that group. And I tell you what, if I'm characterized by bitterness and that's what I talk about, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to see good days and I'm not going to love this life. We've got to get outside of that. We've got to stop being so involved in all of that. That's not what Christians need to be consumed with. My days will not be good days when that's what I'm involved in. When I'm gossiping and backbiting and coarse jesting and reviling and I'm shouting angry words and discouraging words, I'm not going to be happy. And if we want to be happy, if we want good, we're going to start to think and speak good things. Understand that when those things come, that comes from the heart. When we speak those things, that's not just something that's here. It's here. It's within the deepest part of us. And Matthew talks about that in Matthew 12 and verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be careful of your words. Be careful of your letters. You add one letter to words and you get swords, and that's usually what we can be guilty of doing and using. Wrongly employed, they become a curse for us. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Folks, we are not called to that. We're not called to that. We're not going to love life and have good days if that's the kind of thing that we're involved in. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 9 says that to us. That's not what we're about. That's not who we are. He says, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You were not called to that, but you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You think our words aren't important? They certainly are. Critical, demeaning, degrading, complaining, that does not engender good days. It doesn't engender a good marriage either. It doesn't engender any good relationship, and especially not with God. Please notice here, if you will, verse 10, which talks about deceit. In verse 10 of 1 Peter 3, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The word there is the word that we might use when we go fishing, and it's the idea of baiting something, baiting a hook. And he says, don't let your mouth be involved in lying, in deceit. Don't speak things that would be injurious to others, but especially to yourself. That doesn't bring good days when we take advantage of other people, when we're dishonest with other people, when we can't look ourselves in the eye. That doesn't bring good days. It doesn't bring a love for life. When we're false and unauthentic and manufactured, that doesn't come. Somebody said this, and I like what they said. They said, Lord, please keep your arm around my shoulders and your hand around my mouth. Psalmist said it as well. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch on the door of my lips. I just want to stop here for a minute and say that when it comes to deceit, I think the most harmful things that we can say are the things that we say to ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm talking to myself all day long. I have this constant conversation with myself. And the person that I talk to the most is me. And the one that I can harm the most as a result of deceitful lips is me. And a lot of times we are being deceivers and telling ourselves with that little voice things that are not true. A voice that says that we're not good enough. A voice that might say that, you know, I can't see good days. I can't love this life. I don't have what other people have. And I begin to sow these lies to myself, and I'm deceitful with myself, telling myself things that just simply are not true. And that's the most devastating of speech, is that which is not said by others to me oftentimes. It's what I say to myself. I don't have what other people have. I can't do what other people can do. And on we go with this kind of thing. I can't see good days. And many times the source of all that comparison is some media that's coming at us, and I'm comparing myself and comparing myself, and I am deceiving myself if I'm doing that into not having good days and a love for this life. And most of the time the things that I'm comparing myself to aren't true, number one. But number two, even if they are true, it doesn't matter one bit. That's not what brings me joy. That's not what it is that is going to give me a love for this life. And when I do that, I am calling God a liar. And I'm not trusting Him. I need to be careful of the things that I say to myself. Peter goes on to say here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 11 something else. Number two, certainly keep a watch on what you say. But secondly, know what
to turn to. And he says in verse 11, turn away from what is evil and do good. And that is clearly a choice that we make. That's a choice that we make. And we face that choice every day in different circumstances, in different ways. To turn away from evil and do good. If you want your days to be good, choose good. Just not going to have good days if you choose bad. If that's what we're involved in and that characterizes our day, it's just not going to be a good day. It's impossible to be a good day when you're doing bad things. The idea here, as you look at some of the language in the original, is the word ekleno, which carries the idea of to, by deliberate and decisive action, move away from something. It's the same terminology we might use if we're traveling down Arapahoe Road and some guy crosses over the median and is headed right toward us and we swerve out of the way. A decisive action to avoid ruin, and I'm going to do what is necessary to avoid what is evil and turn for what is good. To preserve my life. He says turn the right way and the results will be right. That's not a difficult formula. Why do I struggle with that so much? Do the right things, right results will come. Turn from evil and do good. And that's not going to happen by accident. And the word there carries the idea of construction. I'm building something. Do, build, construct, manufacture. That's going to take a concerted effort, and that's going to take a recognition of the fact that that's not going to happen by accident. I must choose the good and do good. Do good for my brethren. Do good for those that are sick. Do good for widows and poor people and whatever means that I can find to accomplish that. To do good. If you're going to love your life, we've got to decide what to put on and what to put off. Colossians chapter 3 verses 9 and 10 talk about that. When you're baptized into Christ, and just look back at that passage there in Colossians chapter, let's start in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Because once that change takes place in me, it ought to change everything about what I do. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, that was prior to that action, prior to being baptized into Christ and being raised to walk in newness of life. That was your condition, the uncircumcision of your flesh. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Best day of my life was May the 5th. I don't even remember the year, but I know I was 15. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ by obedience to him in baptism, being buried in water and raised to walk in newness of life, the best day of my life. Because all of that was washed away, and I turned away from that and turned to something that has made every bit of difference for me in my life. And I can't imagine living any other way. Can't imagine being in that situation again. But I turn away from those things and I turn to the good. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so everything changes for me. And I do not want, as was the case before, the face of God against me. Now it's not against me. It's shining on me, and I can have good days, and I can love this life because of it. But I don't want his face against me. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 talks about that. That the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
I am His. He has breathed life into me once again, and I enjoy this life. I abstain from things that I ought not to be involved in. And let me tell you that it's hard to enjoy life when the devil is near. What does James 4 and verse 7 say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If he is always walking by your side, you will not have good days. You will not love this life. Because he's the father of lies and he will ruin everything. Get rid of him, resist him, and enjoy and love your life. You can't do that when he's walking alongside you. Do good. And then finally, folks, in 1 Peter chapter 3, notice what he says after he says this. He says, make a rigorous effort for peace. The idea that he uses here, look at verse 11 here. He says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. If you are fighting all the time, then listen. If that characterizes and you're angry and that characterizes from you from the time you get up to the time that you lay your head down on the pillow and you're in this constant frame of mind of fighting and arguing and contention and everything has to be a battle and there's just all of this back and forth and that's your day. You're not going to be happy. Seek peace and pursue it. It will affect your life. And it will affect how long you live too. It has an effect upon us. A peaceful spirit will contribute to a love of life and a lengthening of life. Discord doesn't lead to good days. Listen, the word that's here is the word pursue is in that original language, the idea of hunting prey. And it's something you're stalking and you're trying to get to and you want to possess it. You want to overtake it. That's peace. I've got to have that and I'm going to seek that and I'm going to do what I need to obtain it. And that takes rigorous effort in order to do that. With an earnest desire to possess that thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul talks of this pursuit and he says, but you, O man of God, flee those things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Pursue these things. We can't control everything, but we can control us. And that's all that God expects of us, is to control me. Control what you have the ability to control. And that's what he says, Paul does in Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Find the peace of God, you will find good days. I love this life. We have so much to be grateful for. Being a Christian is not, as a conversation I had recently, it's not about what comes later. It's not about what comes at the end of life, and that's heaven. Certainly that's a wonderful blessing, and it's something to look forward to. But I have eternal life now. I possess that in earnest now, and I enjoy every moment of this opportunity that God has given me to praise Him and glorify Him and demonstrate that He lives in me. That ought to be the way that we live. So, I hope when someone asks you the question, how are you doing, that you say, I'm loving life. For we certainly should. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage you not to let another day go by before you make your life right with Him and seek Him and follow Him to love life and to have good days. We can help you anyway. Won't you come? I'll stand.